All right, so we've got a stack of Chardon Local Schools financial reports for October 2024. Specifically the ones prepared by Deb Armbruster and Crystal King Morrison.
Okay.
And we're going to take a deep dive into these numbers and just see what kind of story they tell.
Yeah.
You know, we've got bank reconciliations, cash summaries by fund revenue and expenditure analysis.
Wow.
We've got it all.
That's a lot of information.
It is a lot.
Like a financial x-ray of the district, you know?
I like that.
Showing the flow of money, the health of the budget.
It is. And I'm already seeing some interesting things.
Oh, yeah.
Like October saw some kind of unexpected dips in revenue.
Yeah.
But
interesting.
But before we get into like the nitty gritty details.
Sure.
Let's start with the big picture.
Yeah, the bank reconciliation, that's a great place to start.
Okay.
It gives us a snapshot of the district's cash on hand as of October 31st, 2024.
Okay.
Which is a very healthy $34,230,402.30.
Wow. Over $34 million.
That's right.
That's
their safety net for, you know, day-to-day operations, unexpected costs, investments in the future.
Wow. That's a pretty good safety net, I would say.
It is.
But I'm guessing all that money is not just sitting in one giant account.
No, no, of course not.
Right.
The report breaks down the cash balance by fund, giving us insight into how the money is allocated.
Okay.
The majority flows through the general fund, which is like their main checking account.
Okay.
It covers teacher salaries, classroom supplies, utilities, all the essential day-to-day expenses.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So let's zoom in on that general fund.
Okay.
What kind of trends are we seeing there?
Well, the year-to-date figures paint an interesting picture.
Okay.
Revenues are down $1,562,494 compared to the previous year.
Okay.
While expenditures have also decreased, but by a smaller amount, only $986,364.
So they're spending less, but they're also bringing in less.
Exactly. It's a bit of a balancing act.
It is interesting and a little bit concerning.
Yeah.
What's driving those revenue dips?
Good question. Let's take a closer look at the October revenue report.
Okay.
We see a decrease of $254,704 compared to last October.
Wow.
With significant drops in local taxes and reimbursements.
Mm.
Now, this is where things get interesting.
Yeah.
Because it raises questions about funding formulas, the timing of tax receipts.
Yeah.
And potentially even one-time events from the previous year that might be skewing the comparison.
Okay. So we're already starting to see these numbers kind of translate into real-world questions about, you know, funding sources and challenges for the district.
That's right.
But while they're bringing in less, they're also spending a bit more this October.
Yes, the report shows an increase of $80,280.
Okay.
And if we dig deeper into that increase, we see it's primarily driven by salaries and benefits.
Which is not surprising.
Not at all. Personnel costs usually make up the largest portion of a school district's budget.
Right. And that aligns with that detailed salary report you gave.
Right. Employee compensation, that's a significant chunk of their expenses.
It is. And this is important, you know, as we kind of examine the district's days of cash.
Right. That's a key indicator of financial stability.
So explain days of cash to me.
So imagine the district suddenly stopped receiving any revenue.
Okay.
Days of cash tells us how long they could continue operating.
Oh, wow.
Using only the cash they have on hand.
So like a financial runway.
Exactly. How long can they stay afloat before needing a cash infusion?
So what's their situation?
Well, after accounting for open encumbrances, like outstanding bills, the general fund has 127.65 days of cash.
Wow, that sounds like a lot.
It is a healthy range for a school district is typically between 60 and 90 days.
Oh, wow. So they're well above.
They're doing well in that regard.
That is reassuring to hear.
It is.
But I'm wondering, is this typical for them or are we seeing some shifts over time?
That's where those visuals in the report come in handy.
Yep.
You know, we've got that bar graph showing the days of cash over the past few years.
Right.
It reveals a downward trend, like a staircase going down, which raises questions about, you know, the potential impact of those declining revenues.
Right. Okay. So there's more to this story than just a healthy cash balance at this particular moment.
Precisely.
The trend itself is something to keep an eye on.
Exactly.
But let's move beyond the general fund for a moment.
Right.
What other financial insights do these reports offer?
Well, we have two more funds to explore.
Okay.
The Food Service Fund, which manages the school meal program.
Okay.
And the Permanent Improvement Fund, dedicated to those big ticket items like major renovations and new equipment.
Okay. School lunches and major construction projects.
Yeah.
Let's see what those numbers reveal.
Sounds good. Let's dig in. Let's start with that Food Service Fund.
Okay.
You know, I'm really impressed with how they're managing this one.
Really? What stands out to you?
Well, they're... You know, I mean, when I think of school finances,
Yeah.
the lunch program isn't the first thing that comes to mind,
Right.
but it's essential. And these reports show that the food service fund is actually thriving.
Okay.
Revenue is exceeding expenditures.
Wow.
And they ended September with a balance of $853,204.
That's impressive, especially
Yeah.
with, food costs going up. How
Absolutely.
are they pulling that off?
Well, the reports highlight an upward trend in both revenue and expenditures,
Okay.
suggesting they're managing those rising costs carefully, maybe through some strategic pricing adjustments, for the meals, or negotiating better deals with suppliers.
Right.
It's a balancing act, but they're doing it well.
Yeah, it sounds like there are some valuable lessons to be learned there.
Right.
Not just about managing a food service program,
Yeah.
but about adapting to economic challenges in general.
Absolutely.
Maybe we can all take a page from their book.
Right.
But let's switch gears to the Permanent Improvement Fund.
Okay.
I'm curious about those big ticket projects that we talked about.
Yes, this is where we see the district's long-term vision
Okay.
coming into play. They're investing in infrastructure technology and upgrades that will benefit students and staff for years to come.
So it's not just about keeping the lights on today.
Right.
It's about building for tomorrow.
Exactly.
What kind of projects are they focusing on?
Well, the reports provide a fascinating breakdown.
Okay.
We see investments in everything from security upgrades to facility improvements,
Right.
with a significant portion of funding coming from state grants and allocations.
Oh, so it's not just local property taxes fueling these projects.
No, it's a shared responsibility between the state and the local community.
Interesting.
And this highlights a crucial point.
Okay.
A district's ability to invest in its future is often tied to external factors,
Okay.
like state funding decisions.
That makes sense, and it kind of underscores the importance of understanding,
Absolutely.
the bigger picture.
The forces that shaped a school district's financial landscape.
Exactly. But let's get back to those specific projects.
Okay.
Did any of them jump out at you?
Well, one that caught my eye was the investment in a neutralizer undercarriage wash system for their school buses.
A what?
Yeah, it's kind of a mouthful.
Do you have to break that down for me?
Yeah, so think of it like a specialized car wash,
Okay.
but specifically designed to clean the undercarriages of buses,
Okay.
removing corrosive road salts and debris that can accumulate, especially during winter.
Ah, so it's not just about keeping those buses shiny. It's
No.
about extending their lifespan.
Exactly. Proactive maintenance.
Right.
It's a smart investment that demonstrates their commitment to the long-term sustainability of their transportation fleet.
That's really interesting. It is. It's easy to overlook,
Yeah, those behind-the-scenes
those
invested.
behind-the-scenes investments.
But they play a vital role
Right.
in the smooth operation of the entire district.
Absolutely. And, this project ties back to a point we discussed
Oh,
earlier,
yeah.
the allocation of resources. Remember how we saw a decrease in revenue for the general fund due to that 1 mil move to PI?
Right, that strategic decision
Yeah.
to shift property tax revenue to the Permanent Improvement Fund.
So this bus wash system is a direct result of that decision?
It's likely a contributing factor.
Okay.
By strategically allocating funds, the district is able to undertake these larger scale projects that might not have been feasible otherwise.
That's a great example of how these financial decisions have ripple effects
Yeah,
throughout the whole system.
absolutely.
But before we go too far down that rabbit hole,
Sure.
let's circle back to the general fund for a moment.
Okay.
You mentioned some notable shifts within the expenditure report. What's happening there?
Well, as we've discussed, salaries and benefits constitute a significant portion of the general fund expenses.
Right.
But what's interesting is that we're seeing some shifts even within that category.
Okay.
The reports highlight an increase in classified regular salaries.
Classified regular salaries, remind me who those folks are again.
Think of the essential support staff that keep the schools running smoothly.
Okay.
Bus drivers, custodians, maintenance workers, paraprofessionals.
Right.
These individuals play a vital role in the day-to-day operations of the district.
Okay, so we're seeing their salaries increase.
Yes.
What's driving that trend?
Well, several factors could be at play here. Potentially negotiated salary increases, adjustments for inflation,
Okay.
or maybe even just an increased need for these types of
That's
positions.
a crucial detail to consider, especially with those revenue challenges we talked about earlier. It makes you wonder how these salary trends will play out in the long run.
You've hit on a key point, balancing competing priorities.
Right.
is a constant challenge for school districts, especially in a fluctuating economic climate.
Right.
They need to attract and retain qualified staff
yeah.
while also managing limited resources.
It's a complex equation.
It is.
But speaking of complex equations, let's not forget about that self-insurance fund that's been lurking in the background of these reports.
Ah, yes. The self-insurance fund.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
And it deserves its own deep dive.
Consider me intrigued. Let's unravel this mystery. Okay, so the self-insurance fund.
Yes.
I'll be honest, the name itself sounds a little intimidating.
It might sound complex, but the concept is actually pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Think of it like this. Instead of purchasing traditional insurance policies for certain risks, like employee health claims,
right.
the district creates its own fund to cover potential losses.
So they're basically self-insuring.
Exactly.
Setting aside money to handle those costs themselves.
Precisely. It's a strategic financial decision that can be more cost-effective than buying traditional insurance.
Okay.
Especially if the district has a good track record of managing risk.
That makes sense, but it also sounds like a bit of a gamble.
Uh-huh.
What if they experience, like, a sudden surge in claims?
Right.
Wouldn't that drain the fund pretty quickly?
That's the inherent risk with self-insurance.
Right.
It requires careful planning analysis.
Right.
And a bit of calculated risk-taking.
So let's see how Chardon's self-insurance fund is actually performing.
Okay.
What insights can we glean from these reports?
Well, the report clarifies that this specific fund focuses on employee health claims.
Okay.
So it's essentially their healthcare safety net.
Okay.
And they've included a helpful line graph that visually tracks the fund's balance over time.
Okay.
From September 2022 to September 2024.
I'm always a fan of a good visual. So what's the trend telling us?
The good news is that the balance has been steadily increasing over that two-year period.
That's good.
Which suggests they've been effectively managing employee health claims and maintaining a healthy reserve to cover future costs.
That's reassuring to hear, but I am noticing some spikes and dips along the way. What's happening there?
Those fluctuations just reflect the natural ebb and flow of claims.
Right.
When claims are low, the balance goes up.
Right.
When claims are high, it dips down.
Got it.
It's a dynamic process.
It's like a financial heartbeat reflecting the overall health of the system.
I love that analogy.
And in addition to the overall trend, the report provides a detailed breakdown of monthly activity showing revenue from board contributions, employee contributions, and expenditures related to claims.
That's right. So we can see exactly where the money is coming from and where it's going.
Exactly. Are there any patterns or insights that kind of jump out at you?
One thing that stands out is the consistency of board and employee contributions.
Okay.
This demonstrates a commitment to funding this self-insurance program and collectively mitigating those healthcare-related financial risks.
It's like a shared responsibility.
Yes.
A recognition that everyone has a stake in ensuring the long-term stability of the system.
Precisely. And the detailed breakdown of claims expenditures offers even more granular insights.
Okay.
You know, it allows for further analysis of trends, potential cost drivers, and areas for improvement.
It's amazing how much information is packed into these financial reports. It's like peeling back the layers of an onion, revealing, you know, a deeper understanding of the complexities.
Absolutely.
And interconnectedness of school district finances.
You've hit the nail on the head. These reports aren't just about numbers.
Right.
They're about understanding the story those numbers tell.
Exactly.
And in the case of Chardon Local Schools, we've seen a commitment to transparency, strategic planning, and a proactive approach to financial management.
Absolutely. We've explored the general fund, the food service fund, the permanent improvement fund, and now the self-insurance fund.
Wow.
We've uncovered trends, analyzed decisions, and just gained a deeper appreciation for, you know, the delicate balancing act.
It is a balancing act.
That school districts face every day.
It's been quite a journey, and I hope our listener is walking away with a better understanding of how Chardon Local Schools is stewarding its resources, investing in its future, and navigating the complex world of education finance.
Absolutely. But as we always say, these reports are just a snapshot in time.
That's right.
The story continues to unfold, and it will be fascinating to see how these trends kind of evolve in the coming months and years.
Here's a final thought for you to consider.
Okay.
What surprised you the most about Chardon Local Schools' financial picture?
Hmm.
And what questions do these reports raise for you about the future of education funding in your own community?
That's a great question to ponder. Until next time, keep those calculators handy, stay curious, and remember, knowledge is power when it comes to understanding the forces that shape our schools and communities.